Welcome to Nature Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our new listeners to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or when the world is going to end, but we will get you ready to face that if it does happen. We will talk about first aid, CPR, tornadoes, earthquakes, how to prepare a family emergency plan, how to develop an emergency communication plan, how to hunt, how to fish, how to make a fire. This show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and various guests from around the world who will share their information and their experiences with us. My credentials? They're pretty extensive, with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, a firefighter, an area safety manager, a safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA field councils, and I am your host for the show. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this program or find on hesafety.org or the radio website at csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to get you to think about things and get you to do your own research. Talk with your professional legal and medical advisors. Because in the end, it's all common sense anyway, which you have. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the show. Common Sense Preparedness website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information about subjects than we can give you in a single broadcast. The website is free, so come on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can also listen or download previous shows via the website. I do ask you to sign up, though. Reason being, it's just so I can judge how well the show is doing. Also, please, show some love to our sponsors. They're the ones that keep the show and the websites free of charge. At the end of the day, it all comes down to this: how many lives we save. It is sad to hear of any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune into Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness with your host, Megan Box.
Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness Weekly Situation Report for the week of February 29th, 2012. You only get to say that once every 4 years. Going into our environmental report, the U.S. Radiation Monitor Network looks good. Our river report is showing some minor flooding still in the New Orleans area. Air quality is good. Our drought report is showing Texas and Georgia still reporting extreme drought conditions. Our food safety report, we have an outbreak alert in South Carolina. The South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control is investigating more than twice the usual number of reported outbreaks to be associated with norovirus since the start of 2012. Outbreaks have occurred in schools, nursing homes, and assisted living facilities throughout the state. Also, the New Mexico Department of Health has confirmed that norovirus is the likely cause of an outbreak that has affected 27 people at the Presbyterian Kaiserman Hospital in Albuquerque. The hospital has closed 2 inpatient skilled nursing units to new patients. All patients with symptoms have been isolated. And we still have an ongoing outbreak alert for 12 people in 5 states that have been infected with the toxin-producing strain of E. coli, O26. The infections are due most probably to infected raw clover sprouts served at Jimmy John's restaurants in Wisconsin, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma. A food safety recall update. Various brands of non-alcohol Malta beverages manufactured by Florida Brewing Company are being recalled due to potential breakage of glass of the exterior of the bottles upon opening. They were sold at Publix, Walmart, Sam's Club, and Whole Food Markets. Food safety is up to you. Remember to cook your food to over 140 degrees. and keep the food under 40 degrees when refrigerating. Also, when dining out, check your restaurant's last inspections. That can be found from the local Board of Health Department or the State Board of Health Department. CSPHESafety.org has links posted on its website to all state health departments with links to the local health departments. Now, our Homeland Security report, we have terrorists living among us. This is a reminder to all Americans that this war on terror can and will be fought on your home street, in your town, at any moment. We must prepare our families to handle such a situation. This week we had a situation where letters containing a suspicious powder substance has been sent to three senators. The Senate Sergeant-at-Arms, the Senate's top law enforcement officer, said the powder was tested and found to be harmless. But the person who sent the letters had said some letters could contain actual harmful material. All letters originated in Oregon, so we have them among us. We must be vigilant and careful. Now, our medical report, we still have a rotavirus outbreak in North Carolina. Alabama is going through a hand, foot, and mouth disease. We have an outbreak of whooping cough, or pertussis, in North Carolina, Alamance County, Missouri, Springfield, and Greene County, Pennsylvania, Chester County, Iowa, Scott County, and in Washington State, King County. We have a new influenza virus discovered in Guatemala this week in fruit bats. The bat flu virus is not believed to present a threat to humans as of yet. In other influenza news, our influenza report still remains low in the U.S. Currently, the influenza rate is at 1.9%, a small increase from 1.7, and the national baseline is 2.4, so we're still under the national baseline. Missouri is still reporting high levels of flu activity. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you that the best way to prevent the flu is to wash your hands as often as possible. Check our webpage for more information on flu prevention and treatment. Now, our seismic report, there has been a total of 7,398 recordable seismic events in the past 30 days. New England region had two of them, one in Quebec, Canada at 4.0, and one in Ontario, Canada at 2.9. Mid-Atlantic region, Virginia had a 1.9. Caribbean region, Dominican Republic had a 3.9. The Midwest region, Oklahoma had a 2.6, and the Panhandle of Texas had a 2.8. New major fault line, Illinois is coming in with a 2.2, Tennessee at 2.2, and Georgia reporting a 1.7. The Yellowstone region, Wyoming had a 2.5. Rocky Mountain region, Nevada had a 3.2. Northwest region, Oregon with a 1.7. And the Ring of Fire region, California had a 4.3, Alaska a 4.7, Hawaii a 4.3. Now going into our solar weather report, everything remains quiet. X-ray levels are at B8, a little bit up from B6 of last week. The K index is still remaining quiet at 1. X-class flares are still quiet, and we still are holding firm at 25% chance of storms in the geomagnetic storm field. Nothing has changed for the NEOs. We're still expecting one on April 19th. NEO 2007 HV4 should come within 4.8 lunar distance of Earth, weighing in at 8 meters. Well, that about does it for this week's Common Sense Preparedness Situation Report. If you would like any more information on the subject matter in this report, you can find it on csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to Common Sense Preparedness Radio Talk Show or follow us on the web at csp.hesafety.org. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program right here on bbsradio.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by patriotmusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out patriotmusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. patriotmusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operations Team, preparing one person, one community, and one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support for the healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hotam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Also follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org. Your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com. All right. You know, this week's news had a lot of earthquake information in it. The Great Central Earthquake Shakeout, the Virgin Island Earthquake, the Philippine Earthquake. It got us to think, what is an earthquake, and what can we do to survive one? Well, an earthquake is a sudden, rapid shaking of the earth. It's caused by the breaking and shifting of rocks beneath the earth's surface. Earthquakes strike suddenly, without warning, and they can occur any time of year, day, or night. 45 states and territories in the United States alone are at moderate to high risk of earthquakes, and they're located in every region of the country. So there is no safe place or earthquake-free zones in America. Earthquakes strike suddenly, violently, and without warning. Identifying potential hazards ahead of time and advanced planning can reduce the dangers of serious injury or loss of life in an earthquake. Now, the actual movement of the ground in an earthquake is seldom the direct cause of death or injury. Most casualties result from fallen objects and debris, because the ground movement can shake, damage, or demolish buildings, bridges, and other man-made structures. Earthquakes can also trigger landslides and generate huge ocean waves called tsunamis. Both of these can cause property damage and loss of life. Now, earthquake-related injuries are commonly caused by partial building collapses, such as toppling chimneys, fallen bricks from a wall or a roof, collapsing walls, fallen ceilings, plaster, light fixtures, and pictures, heavy things that we put on the wall. Flying or falling glass and broken windows. This danger is greater if you're in a modern high-rise building or on the ground level next to a skyscraper. Overturned bookcases, fixtures, and other furniture and appliances. Take a look around you. What could hurt you on the walls if it came tumbling down? Also, fires from broken chimneys, broken glass, and electrical lines, or spilled flammable liquids. This danger may be aggravated by a lack of water due to broken water mains. So not only is the place going to catch on fire, now you're not going to be able to put it out. And fires are one of the most costly in lives during an earthquake. Also, one of the last things that's going to cause a lot of death in an earthquake is human panic. People react. People panic. So you have stampedes on stairways and exits, people pushing you out of the way into holes, and some of them are really deep holes. So the human factor is there. Now, what can we do prior to an earthquake that will protect us or help save lives? Now, during an earthquake, there's not much you can do. Stop, drop, cover, and hold on. And what they're talking about there is this. Stop whatever you're doing. Trust me, you're going to want to stop whatever you're doing. Drop to the ground. Be as low as you can be. Cover your head and your neck. And hold on to heavy objects. If you can't get underneath them, get close to them, like a bed. You might not be able to crawl underneath the bed, but you can lay next to it. Because if something falls on that bed, usually it will leave a space, a crawl space, or a dead man zone, that you can survive for days until rescue help can get there. Some of the other things we can do is fasten shelves securely to the walls, make them sturdy too, place large and heavy objects on lower shelves so they don't have a chance to fall on you, store breakable items such as bottled food, glass, and china in low, closed cabinets with latches. It's like you're being on a ship. If you ever went on a boat, every door latches. Why? Because the boat rocks back and forth. So take that same mentality and apply it to your house if you live in an earthquake zone. Hang heavy objects such as pictures and mirrors away from beds, couches, or anywhere people sit. If you have an earthquake, you have a chance to get out of there before it hits you. Brace overhead light fixtures. Repair defective electrical wiring and leaking gas connections. Well, that's a give me. If you got a leaky gas connection, you're going to fix it right away, whether you have an earthquake or not. Secure your water heater by strapping it to the wall studs and bolting it to the floor. Gas water heaters cause a lot of fires because once it tips and it's heavy because of all the water in it, now you have a broken gas line. And the electrical that starts the electronic ignition, well, now we got a fire or explosion. Also, you want to repair any deep cracks in ceilings and foundations. Get some expert advice on that if you see any signs of this. That's called structural damage. Let them fix it. Store weed killers, pesticides, and flammable products securely in closed cabinets with latches and on the bottom shelf so they don't make the cabinet top heavy. Keep a flashlight and sturdy shoes by each person's bed. Make sure your home is securely anchored to its foundation. If it's not, seek professional advice. Bolt bookshelves, china cabinets, and other tall furniture to wall studs. Not just to the drywall, directly to the stud. Also, another thing you want to learn how to do before an earthquake is how do you shut off your gas and your power? In an emergency, that will be something you need to do right away. When you're doing your emergency family plan, you want to make sure that you're not in an earthquake zone, or if you are in an earthquake zone, and plan accordingly to that. Also, keep and maintain an emergency supply kit in an easy-to-access location. I know mine, it is in the closet on my way out the door, right next to the door. So as I leave, I can grab it and go. That's why I call it a go bag. Also, if you live in an earthquake zone, what you want to do is identify safe places in each room under sturdy furniture, such as heavy desks or tables, against an inside wall, away from the glass that could shatter and cut you. Any mirrors, keep away from all that. And you want to identify this prior to any earthquake and then train everybody in the family where these locations are. That's part of hold on. You should know where all these places are in your house. Now, outdoors, once the earth stops shaking, you want to get out of that house or out of that building as quick as possible. You want to go to a large open space, nowhere around buildings, because buildings will be unstable and can still collapse. Teach your family, teach your kids where to meet, identify the emergency plans, and make sure it's free from telephone wires, electrical lines, overpasses, elevated expressways, and buildings. All that's going to come down in an earthquake. Now, during an earthquake, the most important thing you can do during an earthquake is remain calm. I know, really hard to do. But by doing this, you'll be in a better position to assess your situation and instill confidence in those who are around you. Lead by example, basically. Think through the consequences of any action you take. Try to calm and reassure the others. Stay as safe as possible during an earthquake. Be aware that some earthquakes are actually foreshocks to a larger earthquake or aftershocks after a big one has occurred. And they can be, your aftershocks can be as strong as your main earthquake. Minimize your movement to a few steps to a nearby safe place. And if you are indoors, stay there until the shaking has stopped and you are sure that you can exit the building safely. Now, if you're in your bed when the earthquake happens, and it does happen when people are asleep, stay in bed until the shaking stops. Hold on and protect your head with a pillow. Unless you're under a heavy light fixture that could fall, then roll off the bed and hide between the bed and the floor. Now, the old adage, always run into a doorway because it's safer and stronger, does not always work in modern-day buildings. So you want to be careful about that. Doorways are not always a safe place. Do not use the elevators if you're in a high-rise. Always use the stairs in an emergency. Now, once you're outside the building, if you're at your residence, you want to go and shut down electrical and gas. And that should be pre-identified in the emergency plan. Reason being, the earthquake might have stopped, but the aftershock's going to spark something and boom, you're going to lose your house. Now, if you're outdoors when this earthquake strikes, stay there. Move away from buildings, streetlights, and utility wires. Once in the open, stay there until the shaking stops. The greatest danger exists directly inside buildings, at exits, or along exterior walls. Many of the 120 fatalities in the 1933 Long Beach earthquake occurred when people ran outside of the building only to be killed by fallen debris from the collapsing walls. Inside the building, you stay there until the shaking stops. Outside the building, get away from it. Now, if you're inside a moving vehicle when the earthquake hits, stop as quickly as safety permits and stay in the vehicle. Avoid stopping near or under buildings, trees, overpasses, or utility wires. Look for a clear spot to stop in. Proceed cautiously once the earthquake has stopped. Avoid roads, bridges, or ramps that might have been damaged in the earthquake. When we had the North Rim earthquake, we had a police officer riding his bike in the middle of the night with no lights on, drive right off that bridge because it collapsed and he did not see it. So drive very cautiously. If power lines fall on your vehicle, don't get out. Just wait there. Somebody will be there to help you. If you are in a mountainous area or near unstable slopes or cliffs, be alert for fallen rocks and other debris. Landslides are often triggered by earthquakes, so be careful. My advice, in the mountains, get out as fast as possible. Get off that road. Now, during an earthquake, if you get trapped underneath some debris, one, do not light a match to see. Do not move about or kick up dust. Cover your mouth with a handkerchief or clothing. Tap on pipes or walls so rescuers can locate you. Use a whistle if you have one available. Shout only as a last resort. Shouting can cause you to inhale dangerous amounts of dust, and it may bring other material down on you. Now, another thing, pets. Pets in an earthquake. The behavior of pets may change dramatically after an earthquake. Normally quiet and friendly cats and dogs may become aggressive and defensive. Watch animals closely. Leash dogs and place them in a fenced yard if possible. Pets may not be allowed into shelters for health and sanitation reasons. Prepare an emergency pen for pets in a home that includes 3 days to 7 days supply of dry food and a large container of water. Now, after an earthquake, expect aftershocks, like I said before. Some of them might be as strong as the initial earthquake. Listen to a battery-operated radio or television for latest emergency information. Put on long pants and long-sleeve shirts, sturdy shoes, and work gloves to protect your body from injuries from broken objects. Look quickly around for damages in or around your home and get everyone out of the home if it becomes unsafe. Open cabinets cautiously. Beware of objects that can fall off the shelves and hit you in the head. Stay away from dangerous areas. Be aware of possible tsunamis if you live in a coastal area. There will be a tsunami warning or a tidal wave warning as soon as an earthquake happens. If you can, safely help the injured and trapped people. If not, identify the location and notify rescuers. Clean up spilled medicines, bleaches, gasoline, or other flammable liquids immediately. Leave the area if you cannot do this safely. Also, if you have a chimney, expect the entire length of the chimney for damages. It goes without saying, watch out for fallen power lines and broken gas lines. If you smell gas, get out of the area. If you have a down electrical line, stay 10 feet away from it. Also, don't go into damaged buildings. If it's damaged, it can collapse on you. Also, you want to check your sewer lines, make sure they're not damaged. If they are damaged, discontinue using the flush toilet, because all you're going to do is contaminate the environment and where you're living. Cholera, Listeria, E. coli, all those diseases can come from it. Now, after an earthquake, if you have damage to your house and you have to rebuild, it would be a wise man that would rebuild with earthquakes in mind. And what I mean by that, you install latches on your cabinets, place large and heavy objects and breakable items, bottle food, glass, and china on lower shelves, stuff like that. Everything we've just talked about. If you have to rebuild after an earthquake, you're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program, right here on BBSRadio.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons from PatriotMusic.com. I'm proud to announce the release of a new CD of original rock that celebrates individual liberty and the principles that made our republic great. Come give a listen to the award-winning music. There are free videos, radio, TV, and podcast interviews, and an album cover I promise you'll be thinking about for years. And don't forget to check out the Take Action section where you can share your ideas on how to put America back on track. PatriotMusic.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operations Team, preparing one person, one community, and one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support for the healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Now here's an awesome song from Matt Fitzgibbons and Patriot Music.
Seems like a thousand years since we had real fears, but the old ones won't forget. These broken levee walls had a few close calls, but they haven't fallen yet. And you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming. All your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When the sun beats down and it bakes the ground, and you watch the rich land die. Such a vicious drought, even hope's in doubt, but there are no clouds in the sky. But you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming. All your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When you feel the first drop fall, when it kisses your skin, the storm will begin to bring with it promise of change. When you hear the thunder roll, the lightning's begun, the puddles will come to wash out the things that remain.
For those who've been listening to the show, you've heard Matt Fitzgibbons, PatriotMusic.com, music on our program. Well, with the release of the new album, we have Mr. Fitzgibbons to talk about his project. Matt, can you tell us a little bit about your project?
Sure. Hi, Tim. First, thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it. It's a real honor. It's a great show. I listen to it every week. Well, I started PatriotMusic.com back in 2005. With my first album, that was called Patriot. My goal was simply to inspire people with original music to think about and talk about individual liberty and America's founding principles, and ultimately to find positive creative ways to help secure our rights. A couple of years later, I released a second CD called Patriot 2, A Celebration of Liberty. That was in 2007. And I got a lot of great reviews on both of them, a couple of ASCAP awards and newspaper podcasts, TV, radio interviews and things nationally, a couple internationally. And it seems to have worked. So I've got a new CD coming out in just the next couple of days. As a matter of fact, this is the first interview I've done with anyone in over a year, and the first one for this new CD.
Well, thank you for being the first one on our show.
That's a great show, man. Thanks for having me. Like I said.
Matt, I've known of your music for a long time now. Matter of fact, your first album, I was listening to while I was still in uniform. You mentioned ASCAP awards. What is an ASCAP award?
ASCAP is one of the three big performing arts societies, ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. But ASCAP is actually the biggest of the three, and that's how professional musicians get paid. So it's a recognition from one of the performing arts societies for the albums.
Do you have a schedule of performances available?
No, actually, just releasing the CDs, tours and playing out and all the rest of this, nothing has been arranged as of yet. The CDs will be out in just the next couple of days. So one thing at a time. I'm working on the gig schedule really soon.
Okay, if you can keep us informed, I know my listeners would really like to see you when you come to their area.
That'd be great. In terms of all of the details of what I'm doing with PatriotMusic.com, videos and interviews and releasing free music and, some of the music from the past albums and samples, of course, of the new ones and everything, they can subscribe to my newsletter at PatriotMusic.com. By the way, there's a very strict privacy policy. You know, I can't talk about individual rights and civil liberties and things like that if I'm spamming my own fans. So just in case anyone's, concerned about it, rest assured that signing up on my website for the newsletter alerts, your email address is not going to be sold or distributed in any way.
Now, Matt, I understand on your website, I've been on your website recently, and you're able to download free music from your site, from Patriot 1 and 2, I believe, and you're able to purchase CDs from your site?
That's right. Actually, I'm going to be selling them directly in a couple of days as well, too. Well, MP3s are available basically just about anywhere you can get music. You can get the songs off of Patriot 1 and Patriot 2. Like I said, the CDs just arrived, and I'm going to be selling them directly. The CDs for my latest album, it's called Entitled. Actually, a sneak peek of the cover is available on the site as well, patriotmusic.com. But yeah, you can get the music in MP3 or CD form from many different places. But you can also buy it directly from me as well at patriotmusic.com.
Well, that's great. Now, just prior to this interview starting, we did play The Rain Is Coming. So that is your first song on the album?
It is, yeah. Track number one is called The Rain's Coming.
Can you give us a little background on that?
Wow. I think this is one of the strongest songs I've written in a long time. And yet I've got an interesting problem on my hands. I'd like to listen to what other people have to say about this too. But,
so you're looking for feedback on it?
I ask. Absolutely. But not just this song, but other tracks as well. But I've asked people, people in my inner circle and then, concentric rings of people on the outside who've heard songs as I wrote them. This album, this CD Entitled, has 13 tracks on it. It's quite a bit more than, what most CDs have today. But in order to get 13 tracks of music that I was hoping and I'm hoping will be unignorable, I ended up writing, I think, 27 songs. And I whittled them down to these 13 for the sake of the CD. And it's funny because I've got these various people out there rating the songs for me. Telling me, hopefully, what's going to be the strongest song so I could place them in the correct order. And I kind of have a good problem on my hands in that people are, saying that a lot of these songs are really strong. So I'm guessing, in my opinion, that The Rain's Coming is, it's got like that radio hit kind of a tone to it, I think. You know what I mean? It lends itself more to commercial radio. So that's why it's track number one. When in terms of the lyrics, you know, my whole goal is to try to get people thinking about individual liberty. I lived overseas for years, and I taught English as a second language in Manhattan to international students from all over the world. And all of my life, I've had friends and even family from overseas. So I've always been really passionate about, you know, expanding the way I think and learning about other cultures and everything. But it dawned on me when I was teaching in New York that the thing that makes us different from the rest of the world, even though we're made up of all these other cultures, are our founding principles. So my whole concept with this project is to try to get people to take a minute, you know, read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights in particular, to think about individual liberty. You know, we're more divided than we have been at any other time since the Civil War. So the bottom line is, to answer your question, I stay out of partisan politics as much as possible. You know, I deliberately say that my music is nonpartisan. Matter of fact, take a look at the cover of the album, and that should be pretty clear. But in terms of the meaning of the lyrics, I mean, look, I'm a musician. Who cares what I think politically, right? I don't care what actors think. I don't care what news anchors think. I don't want to hear it. So why would anyone want to hear what I think? I'd like people to listen to the music and find their own meaning in it. And hopefully if it's good music, they'll like it. And if it's even better, you know, it's going to mean something a little bit different to them later in their lives as well, too. That's my goal, is to try to write stuff that means different things to different people. But there's a constant thread of individual liberty and America's founding principles through everything.
Well, that's one thing I have noticed listening to your music over the years, that you're not dictating what party to go to, but you are basically core American and patriotic.
Absolutely. Actually, you know, if I could kind of throw this in for a second, I think around the world in a lot of different cultures, maybe even most of them, if not all of them, people think a patriot is the same thing as a nationalist. In other words, they use the word synonymously. I like to make the point, though, that the notions that all of our founding documents and who we are as a people, the oldest, freest government on the face of the earth, great success in terms of liberty and freedom, it's all centered around this basic notion of individual liberty, and that rights are inalienable, and that government's purpose and one and only function is to protect our rights. Whereas if you look up, say, an Oxford definition of patriot, it says one who, you know, fervently loves their country. If you don't mind, I'd also like to add here, you know, that around the world, I think a lot of people view the word patriot the same as the word nationalist. They see them synonymously. I'd like to make a distinction, because I think in the United States, you know, we had these notions of individual liberty, that rights are inalienable, and that they come from being born, you know, from existence, from a God or nature's God. They're not granted by government. You know, government's one and only function is to protect individual rights. This is not only at the time, but even today, it's a uniquely American concept. But I want to point out, though, that these concepts existed in the American colonies before it was even a country. So for me, a patriot is not by any means the same thing as a nationalist. I think, at least in the United States, a patriot is a person who passionately supports our founding principles. Whereas someone overseas would see a nationalist and a patriot, you know, you support the existing administration or the laws and, you know, whatever else is occurring. You can disagree with everything that's happening politically, and as long as, you know, you believe in what America stands for. You know, the oath. You were in the military, Tim. You took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and defend it against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, right?
Got that.
It's not nationalism. Why? Because you're not swearing allegiance to the administration. even the flag doesn't represent the government per se. Now, I'm certainly not advocating, you know, revolution or anything. I'm just simply pointing out a distinction that patriots support our founding principles. Nationalists support their governments. And that's why I chose patriot music.
So what you're saying is you don't per se support whatever administration is in power, but you do support the Constitution and what makes us Americans.
Absolutely. You know, and the other thing is this, look, I'm kind of playing two roles here, because on the one side, I'm an American citizen. I love my country tremendously, and I really care about what's happening. And you bet I've got political opinions. On the other hand, my goal with the music is to try to at least bring some people into the first step to thinking about, you know, their liberties. And in order to do that, I can't get involved in any partisan politics, because all I have to do is say one thing that's divisive. And guess what? A whole bunch of people who might otherwise have been inspired to take a minute, you know, and look at the Declaration of Independence, or maybe, you know, take a look at read one of the amendments in the Bill of Rights. They won't do it now because I said something that ticked them off. And, you know, and they think, oh, he's on the other side. But it's not red versus blue. It's America, you know, it's not this team thing.
So what you're saying is, it's similar to common sense preparedness. Our goal is to educate. I'm not to tell you you're right, you're wrong, who to vote for, when the world's going to come to end. But the whole idea is we got to prepare ourselves for disasters and emergencies. So.
Well, this is one of the reasons I like your show, because, you know, I'm not going to say that some of these other sensational doomsdayers out there that have programs that it isn't interesting. But they strike me as wacky, whereas you're literally, you know, common sense. You don't get into this partisan politics stuff either, you know, where you're sending out email alerts because some bill was passed in Congress. You're talking about real-world scenarios.
Just like common sense preparedness. Educate about emergencies and how to handle them, and when they happen, you're more educated on the subject matter. Now, one question I do have for you, Matt, is how can I rate a song of yours or give you some feedback? How can my listeners do that?
There are a number of different ways. For the CDs that are available at CD Baby, you can go there. CDs are available on Amazon.com. But I actually also have a section of my website that's new. It's the Take Action page, and there's actually a button on patriotmusic.com that says Take Action. I try to make it easy for people to contact me either by email, but the discussion forums are there as well, and it's kind of an experiment. I'll see how much interaction I get and involvement. I really am looking for, like I said, positive, creative ways for people to help secure our rights. So I'm looking for any and all feedback from folks, and they can be involved as much as they want. If they want to write newsletters, for example, or any sort of an article on a particular issue, get involved in a link exchange, whatever it may be, you know, whatever it is you've got to say, if you're passionate about America's founding principles and the notions of individual liberty, contact me, because I want to hear from you. You know, I just want to mention one more thing, and that is, you know, we've got a presidential election cycle now, and we're hearing a lot from the GOP candidates and everything, but that's one of the three branches of government. This is all going to be over essentially in November, and then the, you know, whatever's going to happen in January, whether it'll be a second term or, you know, a GOP presidential candidate, a new president. Bottom line is, one vote every 4 years, it's not going to fix all of the issues we've got in this country. People have got to participate. That's only one of the three branches, and there's so many things, from jury duty to, you know, informing people about what their rights are. There's just too many to get into here. But I'm passionate about this. I want to hear from anyone and everyone who's got ideas.
Now, on your website, can we find out more information on how to get involved with the government and all that kind of stuff?
When you say how to get involved with the government, I'm not exactly sure I understand what you mean.
Do you have links on your website to show us how to get involved?
Absolutely. Lots of ideas, and people have participated as well. So there are other organizations that I'm happy to point people to that I don't necessarily agree with everything they're doing, but there's something of value. And, you know, I'd love to give them some more traffic and, you know, get people thinking.
Okay. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operations Team. Preparing one person, one community, and one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support for the healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Also follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com. Matt, it's interesting that you're on the show this week. We just talked recently about earthquakes. Now, I understand that... In 1995, you went through the Japanese earthquake in January. Can you enlighten us? What did you experience? What happened?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. You know, when you shot me that email about the interview telling me you were covering earthquakes, asking me if I was willing to talk about it, I sat down and did some hard thinking. I got to tell you, I mean, it was one of the most incredible times of my life. I'd been living in Japan. I was there for about 2 years at that point, living in northwestern Osaka. And not very far from me, right down the road, was this huge quake. You know, in terms of what the scale was at the time, everyone said it was an 8.5. I did a little research before the show, and there's a Japanese scale, and there's some other scales, so I don't know. But either way, I could tell you it killed almost 6,500 people. I woke up at, it was at 5:46 in the morning, I remember that, on a Monday morning. And I woke up about 4 feet in the air. And at a couple of hundred miles an hour, the ground met me in the air and slammed me against the floor again. It didn't knock the wind out of me, but, you know, I was sleeping until I found myself basically levitating. A buddy of mine, about 20 miles from me, his grand piano shattered on his ceiling. I'll never forget the sound. It was absolutely unbelievable. It was like the earth was angry and wanted to shake us off like fleas on a dog.
When you say sound, what kind of sound did you have?
Well, the sound of the entire world just vibrating. I mean, this was a, I think it was a 20-second earthquake, but the thing about it that was amazing was that, first of all, when you're in something like this, the first couple of seconds, you have no idea what's happening, okay? But then it suddenly becomes the longest time of your life. And what was weird about this quake was that it was what they called a once-in-a-millennia quake because it was up and down. And I'd say probably the first third of it, if I remember properly, was up and down. And no buildings can survive this stuff. Highways, nothing. You can't build structures that can survive an up-and-down quake. And then the second two-thirds of it was the left and right thing. And there was a slight pause of like 1 second between, you know, the first third of up and down and the two-thirds of the left and right.
So basically you had two earthquakes and one up and down and one side by side.
Oh, it was just one nasty thing. I mean, your subconscious mind, when this stuff happens, I lived in California too. I've been through some quakes like 3.5 and stuff. And I'm not taking anything away from people who were injured in the smaller quakes, but I got to tell you, once you start getting up around 7, even 6.5, your subconscious mind just feels like anger, that the whole world is angry. I can't explain it beyond that. It's not interesting. It's terrifying. There's no way you're going to think straight for the first 30 seconds when this stuff happens. It's impossible.
So what happened right afterwards when you realized you've just gone through an earthquake? What was the first reaction that you guys did? What did you see?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Some interesting synchronicity happened to me, but I actually had a survival book and had a chapter on earthquakes that I had read, I think, less than 2 weeks before it occurred. I'm not kidding. I grabbed my wife, ran to the front of the building. We're on the fifth story, and the building was swinging from like 20 feet from left to center to 20 feet to right. And I put her in the door frame, you know, cinder block building. And I'll be honest with you, I was sure we were going to die. Gave her a kiss and waited. Not going to jump in an elevator. The stairs in the courtyard, forget it. You know, you couldn't walk. If we tried to walk out on the balcony, we would have been thrown over it. Five stories.
So what did you see afterwards, after all the shaking and stuff?
The only thing I saw, frankly, was protect my wife and get the heck out of there. Get the heck away from any tall standing structures. It probably wasn't for 5 or 6 minutes until after we cleared any tall buildings. We were lucky because there happened to be a little tiny playground. And only then was I able to really think about it, you know, and the adrenaline had already begun to kick in. So, I mean, it takes a while for the adrenaline to, you know, to come down and your brain can actually reason. Fortunately, I did the right thing and got us out of there. But I got to tell you, we were absolutely helpless.
Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program. We may be found at the web at csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness.
Is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Lessons to your daughters and sons, to fear the government that fears your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. They don't feel safe if you are armed. You say gun control is using both hands.
is using both hands.